This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Everybody, good to see you. I think I would like to start every day with that little video, just a reminder of God's promises of who He is and what He's about. And I hope that some of those promises will sink into our hearts today as we go through this series that we're calling Moving Forward. If you haven't already, you want to go ahead and use the QR code. You can pull up the message notes. There's some really great verses that you want to keep. You may want to write some things down, highlight some stuff, and so it's really easy to do that. You can find out what's going on at the church as well just by tapping into that. And as you're doing that, know that this series is one about moving forward. It's about God has a plan for our life. I hope that by now you know that, and that God wants good things for your life, and that God has you heading in a direction for a future and a hope, and that God is pouring into your life, and He does love you. And I hope that's something that's been seeking in, at least just any time that you've ever been here at Bridges or any church, or any time you're in the Word or in your praying, just remember God is good and God is for you and God is not against you. As you do this, I want to talk today, we're going to do week two, and it's about moving forward, but it's about moving forward after failure, after experiencing failure. So let me just do a quick poll in here just to see if you're alive and awake. How many guys have ever experienced a failure in your life at all? You don't have to share what it is, but how many have ever experienced a failure? Okay, great. We're not going to call it what it is, but everybody has, or you're asleep, right? There's failures part of life. It happened in the Garden of Eden. God put them there in a perfect situation, Adam and Eve. And yet they failed. And that failure has cascaded down to where we are today, right? And we're dealing with a world that has dealt with failure. And it can be at any level, right? It can be something big, something small, but it's just part of life. Like, any baseball fans in here? We're all football fans. Any baseball? There's like, okay, there's several. All right, that's good. If you've been following baseball at all this year, you know there's one player, Aaron Judge, who has a great, great story. He's on the Yankees, so that's not big with me. But anyway, he's one of the best players this year, and he's going to be playing Tuesday night in the playoffs. But he's hit 62 home runs this year. Set a new American League record after 61 years. This record is held, but then he broke it. Great, great story. If you didn't know his story, when he and his sibling were little, their parents abandoned them, and they were raised in a Christian home, adopted, raised in a Christian home. And so when you hear him talk, it's really cool. He's such a low-key, humble guy. And he'll talk about that God has a plan, God has a direction. He's a free agent this year, at the end of the year, and he's just saying, God has something for me, and I'm moving forward that. But it's interesting, 62 home runs, that's huge, right? 62 home runs. But he struck out 175 times this year. So about three times more times he has struck out than hit a home run. His batting average this year, and he was up for the Triple Crown, just did lose it. His batting average is .311. For those who don't know baseball, know what that means. That means about 31% of the time he succeeds, about 69% of the time he fails. All right, so but that's considered huge success in baseball, and he's learned how to move forward. Even though he fails twice as much as he succeeds, he's learned that that's part of the baseball world, and he gets paid a lot of money for that. And next year, he's going to get paid even more money than that because he's a free agent. So he's learned how to deal with it. And one of the things we have to learn how to deal with failure is this, that God wants us to move forward, but we're going to fail, right? There's little failures in life, things that just kind of happen. Like, you ever had a dinner fail? Has anybody ever had that where you made something and it just did not work? There's a story in our family that I won't repeat the whole thing, but basically it was supposed to be chicken and noodles. It became chicken paste. And that's one of our stories. You could hung wallpaper with it. Speaking of wallpaper, have you ever done a home repair failure? Is anybody like me? Like, in our bathroom, we had the ceiling peeling down, and I went in there and I go, I can fix that. Because I watch YouTube and I can fix anything. And so I went in there and scraped the ceiling, which was a lot of fun. And I scraped all this stuff down. Then I had to put the mud up back there. And as I did it, it looked really easy online, but I kept getting lines in it. And then I kept trying to fix the lines, which made it even worse. And finally, I got to the point where I am now, which is I'm just going to leave it the way it is, or I'm going to hire somebody because I can't fix it. And it's kind of a fail. All right? It's just a fail that every time I go in the bathroom, I'm like, I don't know how to fix this. I need to get the YouTube guys over to fix this. But they're little failures, right? I mean, sometimes you miss a deadline that no one gets on you for. We have those. Sometimes you forget to call. Sometimes you forget a birthday, which kind of edges onto the serious crime of failure, right? But there's some smaller failures. But then there's bigger failures, right? We maybe have experienced one of those in our life. Maybe cause an accident, You know, maybe you did something, you caused an accident. It was a failure in that sense. Maybe you made a business decision which led to a cascade of things and you suffered bankruptcy and you look back at that. Maybe you had a relationship fail in your life where because of something you did or something that happened, it failed around you. You tried everything in the world to fix it. It just didn't work. And some of us have dealt with that, and we're going to look at that today. And maybe you've dealt with a moral failure, been around someone with a moral failure where it was either an addiction that people just kept dealing with, and maybe you've been there before, whether it's pornography or drugs or alcohol, just something you kind of gotten caught in, or maybe it's habitual lying, this type of addiction where you fail constantly. And you've ever been there where you had a temptation that you ever failed at, and then you failed at it again. I think we've all been there before. So these are a little bit bigger, and we kind of deal with those in a different way. But today I want you to know that with God, God wants us to move forward, and he has a plan, and he has a direction. And we're going to talk about today, how do you go from failing to moving forward? Because it's really easy to get stuck there. Another thing that's easy to do is to do this, so don't. It's easy to say, I failed, and therefore I'm a failure. And that becomes identity, and you have to be very careful that I failed, therefore I'm a failure. You're not a failure. You may have failed. So if you know the person sitting next to you well enough, would you turn to them and say, you're not a failure. Can you do that today? I mean, look at them really sweet and smile. You are not a failure. God has a plan for you. And if you don't have anybody sitting next to you, I'm saying it to you. You're not a failure, okay? I want you to know that. I love God's word because God's word has so much positive things about moving forward. And the book of Lamentations is one that we don't turn to very often. It's about a failure, right? The failure of a nation to follow God. They had turned their backs on God, the nation of Israel. And because of that, God was sending them into exile. And the book of Lamentations, which means lament, it means we're sad, we're crushed because of our choices, and we're falling away from God, is a series of poems by the poet, Jeremiah, the prophet. And yet, in the middle of that, there's some hope. And Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 is that hope. I want to read it for you. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And with this summer, we talked about chesed of God. The chesed of God, the steadfast love, the loving kindness of God never ceases. In other words, you can't fail enough that God won't continue to love you. It's impossible. Your failure is never as big as God's love. And it never ceases. Not only that, his mercies never come to an end. You can never outfail God's ability to give you mercy. But not even that, they are new every morning. That means you started over today, and you may have failed already with breakfast or something on the way, but it's okay. It just constantly starts over. Just constantly starts over. God's saying, start over. My mercies are new today. And then it's this statement, great is your faithfulness. In other words, God never fails. God never fails. And he will never fail you, and his promises never fail. Now, in this series, we are basing this on the promises of God. We're saying, move forward based on the promises of God, and here's one to kind of fall back on, that God will never fail you. He is faithful. And throughout this, we're going to look at different scriptures that you're going to grab hold of, and when you're in that situation where you need it, you can fall back and go, I'm moving forward based on this promise. Now, today, I want to look at four questions. I think questions are good. Questions are good to help us think and reflect and to kind of go through and say, okay, if I'm in this situation, how do I need to think about it? So today I want to present to you four questions to ask yourself if you want to move forward, if you're in the process of moving forward after a failure. And this may be a failure that happened a long time ago. It may be one you're in right now. It doesn't matter. These are four evaluative questions to kind of look at and go, okay, based on this, where am I as far as moving forward? And the first one is this, and this is a big one. After a failure, are you able, am I willing to admit I was wrong? Am I willing to admit I was wrong? Am I willing to admit that I failed, that I did something wrong? Am I willing to admit that I sinned? And this is a big one. To own up to the part that we have in any kind of failure. And there's really two reasons people don't hold up to what they said, right? Or they don't admit that what they did was wrong. Here's two reasons. One is pride. Pride kind of keeps us from saying it was my fault. Pride is like it was everybody else's fault. Yeah, I failed, but it was because of these people, right? Instead of owning up to what we've done. Pride is one area that we have to overcome in order to move forward. The other one is insecurity. Sometimes we won't own up to what we've done. Sometimes we don't admit it because of insecurity. We're going, this now speaks to who I am. I have failed, and we already talked about this. I'm a failure, we begin to think. or I always fail, or I'm not good at this particular thing, or I'm kind of trapped here. And so insecurity will speak into this, and it keeps us from moving forward. And we need to just stop and say, well, God, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to admit it. The word for that in the Bible is confess. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2, it says this, pride leads to disgrace, right? But with humility comes wisdom. Now, the first part I would say, and I don't like to pick on people, but politicians, I think if they just learn that, pride leads to disgrace, right? We're going to look at another verse. It's like, just admit it. When you mess up, just admit, I messed up, you know? But what happens? Sometimes we try to cover it up. It's the same with us in everyday life. We need to move on because it says with humility comes wisdom. In other words, when we fail, what does God want us to do? He wants us to learn from it. I failed. What can I learn? And not be attacked by our insecurities and not be overcome with pride. Just look at it and go, okay, I failed. What can I learn from this experience? What can I take away? What does God want me to learn? How do I move forward in this? And so with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says this, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. It's a great verse again for politicians. You messed up. Just admit it. Hey, I messed up and I want to move forward. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. And that speaks to us too, just to say it out loud. Now, we're about to hit a promise of God that I if you don't know this one, this is a key one in your walk with Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, you need to know 1 John 1:9. Because it's really a verse about moving forward. And it's one of those promises that has an if-then. If we do this, then God will do this. So 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins. And you hopefully know this verse, right? Confess means to agree with. In other words, God knows what we've done. He's already seen it. He knows what's in our heart when we did it. He knows what our motivations were. He's experienced it in front of us. He knows it already. We know it. It's just going to God and say, I agree with you, God. That's what confess means. It's hard to even admit it. It's just going, God, you saw it. I saw it. Yeah. Yeah. That's all he wants us to do. It's so simple, but it's hard at the same time. If we confess our sins, it says he does two things. He is faithful and just to forgive us, and that's huge. And we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but forgive means to let go. God has let it go already. He's already paid the price for it. He's, I'm going to forgive you, but not only that, I'm going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That means you're able to move forward. It is gone. I've cleaned you up from that. Don't hold on to the failure. Don't hold on to the failure. Let it go. It's a very powerful verse. Sometimes we do things, and maybe this is not you, but it's most people. We do things and they rattle around in our brains for a long time. You know what I mean? You've made a mistake and it just rattles around and you can remember it and you can remember it and you can go right there and you can experience again. Has that been your case at all where you've done something and you replay it? I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't said it that way. I wish I hadn't said it to that way and to that person at that time. You know what I mean? It just rattles around. You want to fix it, but you can't go backwards to fix it. It just rattles around and Satan whispers into our ears. Our adversary says, that's what you did. You can't move forward. You're stuck there. You did this, you ruined that, you caused this to happen, and you're reminded. And when does it normally happen? 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Or 11 or whatever time when you're quiet and it starts to feed back in. And then the reminder is from God, don't go on your feelings. Don't go forward on your feelings. Feelings are an indicator there's something wrong, but go by faith. In other words, when you feel that, it's human nature. But then you go back to the promise of God, and by faith you go, wait a minute, God, you told me if I confess, you forgive and cleanse, that's the truth of the situation. I want to move forward by faith. It's gone. It's done. I'm moving forward. And God says, great, I already forgot it. I choose not to remember that anymore. Let's move forward. But sometimes you need a little bit more than that, right? Because the feelings don't go away. So the scriptures tell us to do this. James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to one another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. What does that mean? It means sometimes you need a person in front of you to say, I've confessed this to God, but I still feel a little trapped by it. I can't move forward. I need to tell somebody. Can I tell you? Now, that's got to be a person you trust. And it has to be a person that you know loves you and they love God. And it may be in a small group you have that opportunity. We're offering lay counseling now. It may be that you need just to sit down with someone and say, I've got this thing that I've given to God, but I want to be free of it, so I need to tell someone else, and I need it to be you. It can be me. It can be someone that you can just go to and go, I need a person in front of me that I can confess because I want to move forward. I'm tired of living back there. It starts with admitting, right? Here was a failure I did. Some of it was my fault. Maybe all of it was my fault. I just want to tell you so I can be free. But you start by telling God, confess. Agree with God and then confess to someone else. So that's the first question. Once you decide, hey, I want to move forward, am I willing to admit I was wrong? Second question, am I willing to change direction? And this one is huge. Not everybody wants to change direction. Not everybody wants to change, right? Some people do. Like, I want to move in a different world. Sometimes we get caught in something. I'm just kind of comfortable here. I don't want to change. I'd rather live in this. And that can be very unhealthy, to live in a problem that we're dealing with. You need to be able to move forward, and I want to change. John the Baptist, interesting person, he had two messages. One of them, that the Messiah is coming. The second one is Matthew 3:8, and it was his whole sermon. Don't you wish this was what I was going to say today? This was his whole thing, Matthew 3:8, here's his sermon. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, go home and do that. Like, everybody loves it. Go home and watch football, right? Or go to the fair. Just to break the thing. How many guys have been to the fair? This is totally off subject. Okay, was it good? It was fun, huh? If you haven't been, it's a beautiful day. Go after this. Deal with your issues, but have a good time, right? So I don't even know why I brought that up. But anyway, maybe it was the fruit. Bear fruit in keeping repentance because we got jam. Maybe that's my thought. But anyway, what does it say to do? You've dealt with an issue in life. Repentance. Repentance is an old-fashioned word, isn't it? What does it mean? I've shared this before. It's metanoia. Change your mind. Change the way you think. When you change the way you think, you change the way you feel and your attitudes, and that changes the way you behave. And what John said to do is this: you need to change your direction. You're heading in the wrong way. You've gotten into this thing, whatever it may be. It's not healthy for you. You keep butting up against God, and he's convicting you of it. So it's time to stop and say, I have confessed it to God, now I want to change. I don't want to keep going this direction. So I'm going to change the way I think about it. I'm now going to allow that to change my attitude, change my action. Then he says, let that bear fruit. And fruit means that you live differently. Let's use some examples. Maybe you're a person that has a hard time telling the truth because it makes you look bad, you think, or it looks like a shortcut. So you just bend the truth a little bit. And it becomes a habit, so you don't ever admit anything. When people corner you on that, you just simply make up something else. And you want to change. And so what John is saying in this short little message, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I know that's wrong. Lying is not the way I should go, so therefore I need to change. So I'm going to change the way I think about lying. God says tell the truth, so I'm going to process that, allow that to change what I say. And now I begin speaking truth. Critical thinking or critical words, let me say it that way, critical words can be a habit. It's a type of failure, isn't it? I'm going to tear everybody down around me. I'm going to condescend by thinking I'm better than everybody. So I get in this habit of tearing everybody down. And then the Holy Spirit convicts me of this. And so I change. I begin to think of it different. I'm not supposed to be critical. I'm supposed to be humble. And so I want my thoughts to change, my attitude to change, and my words to change. See, it causes change in life. And change in direction. The New Living puts it this way, Matthew 3:8. He says, prove by the way you live that you repented of your sins and turned to God. There should be some sort of proof. It's one thing to change your thought, but it needs to be followed with some sort of change in behavior. I'm not going to keep doing this thing that's wrong. And if I do, I'm going to ask God to forgive me again, and I'm going to ask him to help me start over again as many times as it takes, but there needs to be a behavior change if we want to move forward. Acts 3:19 says this, repent therefore, change the way you think, change your attitude, change your behavior, and turn back. Sometimes you have to go backward to go forward, right? And your sins may be blotted out. Then you can start over. It's gone, but you need to change. Change is not easy, but it starts with confession and then a change of thought and a change in direction. A few years ago when I was living in California, before I got married, My best friend flew out, Southern California is where I lived, and there's an island off the coast called Catalina. It's absolutely beautiful. They used to film westerns out there. And so I had another buddy that flew us both over to Catalina. It's a scary airport. It's on top of a mountain. It's not even, the runway is not as long as this building, I don't think. And so he puts this plane down, hits it, goes to the end. It's like, oh my gosh, he can breathe again. And we had camping gear and everything. We hiked down to this cove on the Pacific Ocean side. And it was like the beaches are supposed to be. You know, if you ever go to the beach where it's all torn up and it's dirty, this is the way it's supposed to be, all clean. It was just an incredible place, camping right there, jumping off the cliff into the water. It was just an adventure. And then we wanted to go hike down to where they had buffalo burgers, because there's actually buffalo on there, and they hunt them, and they don't hunt them. What do they slaughter them. It sounded better hunt. So anyway, they have buffalo burgers that they're in, so we're going to go. And we had to hike behind this hill and then down a thing to get to the buffalo burgers. And there was a cliff slash slope between us. It was a shortcut, all right? So it started off as a slope, but then turned into a cliff and go, we can go that way and get faster. Have you ever done anything like this before in your life? And so we go, we can do it. So we started out, and again, it was a slope at first, and we're walking, but it's sand and it's dirt and it's not rock. And the rocks you could find, you could grab, and they would kind of shift a little bit, you know, in your hand. And so we got a little bit further out, and then we noticed every step you would kind of slide down about 6 inches. And because we had jumped off of cliffs into the water, we thought we're invincible. We can keep going until we got a little further out. We're way above the rocks, and it's a pretty far way down. And we're going, this is not safe. This is not safe. And I had passed my completely invincible years, you know what I'm talking about, where you think nothing will hurt you. And I was into the maybe this could kill me kind of stage, right? And so I'm getting a little further out, and it's finally like, I think this is dangerous. And there's nobody around. If we fall and we die, nobody will know it, and it'll just be the end, right? So you have to make a choice. Do I go forward or do I go back? And so, I mean, just to kind of cut the tension, we survived, okay? Just so you know, we didn't die, all right? I could see the tension out there. But we stepped out, and it was like one step too many. It starts to slide. I go, we're going back. Because sometimes you have to go backwards to go forward. You know what I mean? Sometimes you have to go back to that decision that you made, that choice that you made, and go, this was a wrong decision. That was a wrong decision. I was going in the wrong direction. Repentance says change direction. So I'm going to change the way I think about it, which causes my attitude to change, which causes my actions to change, and now God, show me a new path. Because you can't move forward sometimes until you deal with the past, right? And once you've dealt with that, you change direction, now we can move forward. Marriages are this way. Until you deal with some things in your marriage, you can't move forward. But it causes a change in thinking, change in attitude. That's what repentance is, change in behavior. When the change of behavior happens, you know you're bearing fruit. And it's good, but you got to ask the question, am I even willing to change direction? Or I just want to be right. And sometimes you can be right and can be completely wrong. Sometimes you can be right and be completely wrong unless you change. So that's the third question. Second question, sorry, number three. Can't count today. Number three, am I willing to let God restore me? In other words, do I want to get better? Do I actually want to get better? Or do I want to keep living here in this particular failure? Because sometimes failure is comfortable, right? Sometimes I'm used to it. There's the victim thinking. Everything's out of control. I can't control everything. Everything bad happens, so I'm just going to live there. This happened in the past. I can't get away from it. It defines me. It defines everything I'm going to face, and so we live there. I mean, you maybe have experienced this before. You're dealing with failure, and it just kind of is just there, and I can't get out of it. And God says, do you want me to restore you? I don't know, God. What will it feel like? What if it fails? What if you get my hopes up, and then you drop them? Have you ever been there? I mean, sometimes people don't want to move forward because you get your hopes up, and I don't want to get my hopes up again because I've fallen too many times. But then God says, do you want me to restore you? Do you actually want to get better? And that's the question. Do you want to move forward out of a failure? Psalm 71, 20 through 21, the psalmist is so honest. He says, you have allowed me to suffer much hardship. He says to God, look, God, you could have gotten me out of that. You could have kept me from making the decision in the first place. You could have kept me from the consequences of it. You couldn't do anything, right? God doesn't always bail us out because he needs us to grow from the experience. And the writer says, you've allowed me, you didn't cause it, but you allowed me to suffer much hardship. But, and that's huge, you will restore me to life again. You will restore me out of this failure. And you will lift me up from the depths of the earth. I love that. That's restore mentality. Restore mentality says every day God can fix this. And restore mentality says God can fix me. And it's going to be okay. And he's going to restore me. New Testament, Peter's writing something so similar. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, he says this. After you have suffered, there we go, 1 Peter 5, there we go. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself do four things. This is what he's going to do. He's going to restore you, going to make it better. He's going to confirm you, which means he's going to speak into your life. He's going to strengthen you, and he's going to establish you. Four things. This is about healing from a failure. He's going to restore you. He's going to make it all right. He's going to bring you out of it. You're going to be better for it. He's going to confirm you. He's going to speak into your life, remind you who you are. He's going to strengthen you because you're going to need strength to deal with this, right? And then he's going to establish you. You're going to have a new life, the life of restoration. That's his promise. That's his promise to us. And it's a big promise. You can move beyond a failure. If you think about people from the Old Testament, I don't know who comes to mind. We got Abraham, Moses, all these guys. But King David seems to be a real focus of the Old Testament. A guy who had so much success, right? A leader, musician, poet. He did a lot of great things. And he also had some massive failures. One time he got so proud of himself, he just counted the army. And you would think that would be a big thing. But to God, it was like, I'm trusting my army, not in you. So God had to discipline him. But his biggest failure, in my opinion, was the day he told his army, I'm not going out with you. I'm going to stay home. You guys go do the work. That was his first failure. Second failure, after he didn't do what he was supposed to do, he went up on top of his house, which is nothing wrong with that, but he began to look down at everybody else's house because his was the tallest, and he saw a woman taking a bath. His second failure was he didn't turn his head. He began to think about it. So that's failure number two. Failure number three is he went to his servants and said, bring her here. Failure number four is he slept with her and she had no choice in the matter because he was the king and she was just someone that was a subject in his kingdom. Fifth failure, she got pregnant, not because he caused that. But the big deal is he found out her husband, he brought him home. Fifth failure is bringing the husband home, try to make it look like he caused the pregnancy. Sixth failure was this, when he found out that he couldn't fix it that way, he sent Uriah, who was one of his bodyguards. Now, this is a guy he actually knew. He sent him out to go fight and have everybody else pull away, and he was killed. So he failed his family, he failed his nation, he failed Bathsheba, he failed Uriah. It was a multitude of failures, one after another, and it was public. Most of our failures are not public, right? Most of them are private. His was public. 3,000 years later, I'm still talking about it. We're all talking about it. So how did he deal with the failure? How did he get up again? How did he move forward? Well, he wrote down for us all to see his process. Psalm 51 is a great thing to read when you failed. And this is what he said. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. He turned to God first, and he wrote it down. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. God, I need you to make me right. Wash me clean from my guilt. I can't deal with it on my own. Guilt's a powerful thing, isn't it? Whether you cause it or somebody else, it's a powerful thing. It says, purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. I admit this was my fault. This is what I did wrong. And then it haunts me day and night. I can't sleep. I can't stop thinking about it. It keeps bouncing around in my head. He's just being honest about it. And then he said this, against you and you alone have I sinned. Yeah, I hurt Bathsheba. I hurt, obviously, Uriah. I hurt the people. I hurt my family. He caused consequences. He has to deal with that. But he understands sin is this way between us and God. I sinned against you, and I have done evil in your sight. I caused this. I'm not going to blame me. It's not Bathsheba's fault. Nobody else's fault but mine. And then he says, you will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. God, you get it. You're the one that's going to take care of this. You're just. And then I love verse 4. This is restoration thinking. Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me, because I can't fix myself. There's no way to do, you know, a heart surgery on ourselves. It requires God. But he says, I want to be different. I want to start over. I want a new life. I want to move forward. God, do this for me. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And it's this simple willingness to move forward that God meets us in that moment of faith. Yeah, I failed. God, fix me on the inside and we'll move forward together. And God answers that prayer. And that's what I love about God. But we have to be willing to let God restore us and to move beyond it. Fourth and last question. We've already dealt with, am I willing to admit I was wrong? Am I willing to change direction? Am I willing to let God restore me? And number 4, am I willing to forgive? And here's the other thing about failure. It's not always us. Sometimes you have to deal with the failure of someone else. You're working in a business and one of your bosses, maybe up high, makes a decision that causes you to lose your job. Ever happened to somebody in here? Maybe you know someone that did. They made a decision, it caused you to be fired, you had nothing to do with it. You're in a relationship, you're working really hard at it, doing everything you want to do, and the other person refuses to meet you halfway. Their failure is causing consequences in your life. It's happening to you. You grew up maybe in the home of an alcoholic. Their failure is impacting your life. So sometimes the failure of someone else is impacting us. And the question is, am I willing to forgive? And this is huge. The word forgive in the New Testament means to let go. To let go. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:14. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you let go of it, your Father will let go of what you've done. If you release it, then you're going to be released. Because what happens when we fail to forgive someone else, it's like a prison we build around ourselves. And if we can't let it go, then it's going to trap us. I hope that makes sense. So sometimes when you're dealing with failure, it's not yours, it's someone else's. But our job, if we want to move forward, is to forgive. Forgiveness is hard. Why is forgiveness hard? Because we want revenge, right? We want justice. We want something to happen to them to make them feel what you're feeling. And so we run it in our head over and over, and they don't even know it, right? They don't know that we're hurting ourselves. They're just moving on. That's why forgiveness is so powerful. Mark 11:25, again, Jesus said this, and whenever you stand praying, let go. Forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses, let it go. This is so hard, yet so simple, right? Because you want to hold on. As long as you hold on, you have a chance to get them back. But as soon as you let go, you free yourself. It's an interesting place to be. I visited a guy the other day. He was going through rehab, some occupational therapy, and I was in the room when he was getting it. And it was interesting because what they had him do, and you can try this sometime, they gave him a weighted ball, and they said, I want you to hold it out like this. And then I want you to pick your feet up. You can try it while you're just sitting there. And you'll notice after a while, your core will start hurting a little bit. And then if you do it long enough, what happens to you, right? You start going like this. You ever been there where you're just shaking and you're trying to hold it? Anybody plank in here? You know what I'm talking about? Doing the plank and your whole body is just shaking after a while. You go, I gotta stop because you can't hold it but so long. And the longer you hold it, like the stronger whatever. But like holding that thing is exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. And that's what forgiveness speaks to. When Jesus says forgive, he says, just drop it. Let go. You don't need to carry that. Jesus said, I can carry that all day long. You can't carry it. It's wearing you out. Let it go. What did someone do to you? Let it go. Well, I can't get revenge right. Yeah, that's right. I'll take care of it. But God, if I let go, then what does that say about me? It means you're released. You're free. But it's unnatural, exactly. It's unnatural because we want to hold on. Just let it go. That's what forgiveness means. So when you deal with failure of someone else into your life, it sounds so simple. I know it's not this easy. Sometimes you have to go to counseling, but you need to dig deep into that and go, I'm holding on to this. I'm exhausted. I can't move forward because of the weight. I just want to let it go. And God says, great, let it go. And then you and I can do business. Because until you let that go, you and I can't really do business because that's in the way. Paul in the New Testament, I'm going to close with this. Paul in the New Testament, interesting guy. He was so sure he was right and everybody else was wrong about what God was doing, right? I got this all figured out. I got this God thing figured out. My way is right. Your way is wrong. When people came and said, we're following Jesus, he goes, that's wrong. He's not the Messiah. And not only that, you're so wrong, I think you should be locked up. And not only that, I think you're so wrong, you should be dead. That was Paul. He was so locked in, I'm so right, until he met Jesus. And he goes, that was a failure. Everything I thought was like great was wrong. And when he met Jesus, he had to process all that. And he has some wonderful words he writes about forgiveness and grace and mercy. That's why he always talks about those things, because he was freed by it. And this is the verse I closed with last week. I'm going to close with this again. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He says, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. The failures are gone. I dealt with them. I confessed them. I've been forgiven. I've forgiven other people. I've forgiven myself. And now what do? I strain forward to find what lies ahead. I'm moving forward. And I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I can't deal with this anymore. Let God deal with that. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. Today, if you want to move forward, and maybe failure is not on your list. You came in today. Everything's good. That's awesome. You'll deal with failure later, right? Because it will happen to all of us. So just pack this in your head. You just remember it. But if you're dealing with failure now or even have dealt with it for a while or just this idea, then ask yourself these four questions. Here they are. Am I willing to admit it? At least to God. Start there. This is in my life. Number two, am I willing to change direction? In other words, am I willing to repent? I'm going to go a different way. Number three, maybe the biggest one, am I willing to let God restore me? Because I don't want to live that way anymore. And number four, am I willing to forgive? So for prayer time today, I want to do something a little different. I'm going to ask you to do kind of a mental prayer exercise, spiritual prayer exercise. You don't want to do this before anybody else. But if you are holding on to something that you either haven't forgiven someone or you haven't forgiven yourself, and you're holding on and it's getting really heavy and you're tired of it, and on the outside you look good, and on the inside your arms are trembling because it keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. Something someone did to you, something you did to someone else, and you just can't get it out. Can we just release that today? Would that be okay if we just prayed, and then in your own mind, your own spirit, your own heart, you just kind of held it, and then we pray, and then you're going to release it. So you don't have to look at anybody. It's just between you and God. I'm going to pray. I ask you guys all close your eyes, and I want you to begin praying with me, and here's the prayer. Father God, today we just come before you, and for some of us, we bring something to you that either we or holding on to that someone else has done to us. Someone hurt us, they said something, they made a decision that's caused failure in my life. Someone repeatedly said something to me that's become part of what I believe about myself, and it's not positive. Someone did something to me that I can't let go of. Someone is still influencing my life in a way that I can't forgive. Or, Father God, I've done something that I can't let go of. And I want to move forward. So today, everybody, if you have something like that, just hold your hands out. It's just between you and the Lord. And put that thing, that person, in your hands. And say this, God, I give it to you. I confess it to you. And I want to forgive. And I want to receive forgiveness. Take this thing, this person, this failure, and redeem it. And restore me. I want to move forward. I want to be released. I want to move into the future you have for me. So, Father, you're a good God, and you have promised me that you will forgive me and cleanse me so that I can move forward, and I choose that. And in the freedom that we find in Jesus, we celebrate by faith that it's already occurred. That we can walk out of here different people, that we can live a different life, that when those things come back, we can remind ourselves that it is gone and that I need to just learn, but then I am free. Father, thank you for what Jesus did on the cross to free us from every sin. And we pray this in his name. Amen. If that's you today and you want someone to pray with you, I'd be glad to do that. If you want prayer of any kind, we would love to talk to you about it and just be here for you. I'll be up in this area at the end of the service. Just come and stop by and we'll just talk for a second or set up a time that we can talk or email me. But let's do that. As part of our services each week, we stop and take communion as a reminder of the freedom we have in Christ. And for the verse for today, Psalm 103, verse 12, maybe you know this. It's such a cool verse about our failures and about our lives. Psalm 103, verse 12 says this: "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." He has removed it. It's gone. The thing I love about from east to west is like it's infinite. Like, you remember geometry, remember the idea of a ray, there was a point and it goes on forever. How about a line that goes on forever in either direction? There's west and there's east, and they never touch, ever, forever, they're gone. And Jesus is saying to us, they're gone, they're removed from you. They're just, I took them on the cross. You don't have to worry about it anymore, you don't have to deal with it anymore, it's gone. And that's what we celebrate at communion, that's what we look at. We say, Jesus Christ took those on himself. And he died for us so that we could experience new life in Christ. So after I pray, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's open to everybody. There'll be bread and juice at these three tables. You just pick one, pick it up, and then return to your seat. And I'm going to pray for us as we do that. Father God, in this moment of restoration, we come to the table just celebrating that our sins are already gone. Have been removed as far as the east is from the west. That means infinitely gone. Infinitely gone. You choose not to remember them ever again. And so in Jesus Christ, we find redemption, we find restoration, we find hope, and we find new life. And he made it possible through his death on the cross, the bread that represents his body, and the juice which represents his blood represents our cleansing, our wholeness, our newness in Christ. And we are so glad to have him in our life. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come and celebrate communion when you're ready.